Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 74 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Aaron from Out Now with Aaron and Abe. Welcome back to the show, Aaron.
Hello. Back again.
Minute 74 begins with Zeus getting an idea. And ends with Cobb telling a tall tale. We ended things yesterday with John and Zeus stealing this Mercedes-Benz. And as they're doing that, you know, the car like speeds away. But then a second later, they stop. And, you know, because Zeus is screaming, wait, 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 wait. And then Zeus hangs his head out the window and says to this guy who they just stole the car from, they say, hey. Who's 21st president? The guy just turns to him and goes, go f*** yourself.
It's the best. It's such a good, like, New York delivery of that, too. Like, it just feels so authentic to the moment. Like, it's not just that he's frustrated that his car is being taken. It's, like, the attitude in this you know, day player's voice to convey that feeling is very good.
Correct. So the actor who plays this character, who's listed in the credits as Yuppie Stockbroker, is Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Okay.
Okay. He only has 9 IMDb credits, but included in that, he is a reporter in Splash. He is a junior proctor in The Thomas Crown Affair, and he has been the director of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting for like the last 20-something years.
Perfect.
According to what I found. So, again, as you said, it's a dare player. I mean, it seems to me that this is a guy who apparently knows John McTiernan or someone else. So they said, hey, we're just going to give you a little bit of a give you a bit part in the movie. Because he didn't have any parts in movies between 1995 when this movie came out and 1999 when the Thomas Crown Affair came out. So it looks like it's just like a favor to somebody, you know, that, all right, I'm just going to come in and, you know, have this one little line of go f*** yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I'm all for it.
Yeah. 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 It's great. It's a great delivery. It's done really well. And, you know, we can see from this that, you know, that John just, you know, Zeus looks at John and goes, that guy was pissed. And then John goes, he'll feel better when he looks in the back seat.
Oh, that was my gold bar. That's a great other
thing. He goes, oh, that was my gold bar. So, you see, I like it goes back to what we were talking about the other day. I like the fact that John is so on the ball, you know, even in this type of situation, that he retains that information about the fact that Zeus was trying to take this gold bar for himself. And even though John told him to get rid of it, and he didn't. So, you know, John is sort of saying nah, nah, nah to Zeus about the fact that I told you not to take it, and now it's not yours because you forgot it. But I'm going to remind you of the fact that you forgot it. You know, so I like that.
Yeah, there's a snarkiness to that for sure.
Yes. There's definitely a snarkiness to it all. And, you know, as they drive away, the stockbroker throws his newspaper at them. And, you know, John is also able to multitask because he's dialing something at the time, you know, while he's talking to Zeus about this whole thing about the gold bar. And then he apparently gets through and says, this is McLean. Get me Inspector Walter Cobb. And they connect him really quickly, you know, so it goes back to what we were talking about yesterday about how they're going to be able to get to him. And Cobb has another cell phone. So I guess that's the solution. You know, he's got another cell phone. There you go. And he goes, John, where the hell are you? And he goes, Walter, it's not a revenge. It's a heist. He goes, what? There's gold in the Federal Reserve. Actually, there isn't. And they took a shitload of it. Didn't they take all the gold? And he goes, they're heading north in dump trucks. And I love this line by Cobb. He goes, have you been drinking, McLean?
No, and not since this morning.
He goes, no, not since this morning. Listen, there's a line of dump trucks northbound on the FDR at about 70th. You got to close the bridge and get some helicopters over there right away. And he goes, I couldn't close a hot dog stand right now. I'm spread all over hell. What about this damn bomb? Find out who the 21st president was. I've got something to do with this. And as John is asking that, he's going under one of these underpasses that we discussed yesterday, you know, and loses reception, which, we are all familiar with this type of thing when you know, when you're in a place where you can lose reception. And then, you know, Cobb goes, John, the 21st what? And then we get a shot of John saying, Walter, goddamn cellular fucking phones.
He says that the most angrily he says something in this movie. I don't think there's any moment in this movie that he's angrier than when he's cursing the phone.
Probably. And again, they have no clue at the power and the frustration of against cell phones, you know, in this movie. You know, we 29 years in the future know a lot more about the frustration of cell phones than they do back then. You know, they haven't hit the tip of that iceberg. And at this point, then Cobb turns to one of the guys behind him and goes, get a hold of Munson and Triborough. And then we hear one of the other people around there go, Inspector. And then he goes, tell him to close all the East River bridges north of 59th Street, looking for dump trucks. And they go, dump trucks? McLean says there are dump trucks heading up the FDR loaded with gold. It really does sound like a fairy tale. There are dump trucks driving on the FDR, you know, filled with gold. And there are leprechauns there, too. You know, he makes it definitely sound that way. So they mentioned a number of different New York hotspots, I guess you can say. You know, he mentioned the Triborough. Are you familiar with what the Triborough is?
Not specifically. I know the I've heard the term.
Okay, so the Triborough is the name of a bridge. There's a bridge that basically connects three different three of the five boroughs of New York. Okay, and it crosses over the East River, the Harlem River, and the Bronx Kill. Mm-hmm. Right, but the official name is not the Triborough Bridge. It's actually known. It's the Robert F. Kennedy Bridge. But people still refer to it as the Triborough Bridge, even though for decades it hasn't been known as that. It is a bridge that it's a toll bridge that connects the FDR Drive with the Harlem River Drive in Manhattan, the Bruckner Expressway, and the Major Deegan Expressway in the Bronx, and also the Grand Central Parkway in Queens. So the idea is that it's not one bridge. It's like a number of bridges that are connected together depending on where you're going. So you have the what's known as the vertical lift bridge, which goes over the Harlem River, which is the largest in the world. And it connects Manhattan Island to Randall's Island. Then you have the Truss Bridge, which is over the Bronx Kill, which connects Randall's Island to the Bronx. And then the third one is a suspension bridge over Hellgate, which is part of the East River, which connects Ward's Island to Queens. Basically, the bridges all connected together are 14 miles long, which is pretty amazing. The idea was is that originally, you know, they started with one bridge and then they just started connecting other bridges to the whole thing. So, you know, I just find it really funny that it's been, you know, it's officially called the RFK Bridge, but nobody refers to it as that. You know, it's still the Triborough Bridge. Which I guess sort of makes sense.
Name stick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you know, Twitter.
Nah, yeah, that's true. I can't call it X. I don't know. That's not the reason why I can't call it that. I'm just used to calling it Twitter, and that's it.
It's my main reason, because it's dumb. That's my reason for that.
Okay. I can't argue with that. So how much do you think when they opened the RFK Bridge, which was originally known as the Triborough Bridge, in 1936, how much do you think it cost? What was the toll to get across it?
What was the bridge toll? to get across that bridge.
Yes.
And when did it open?
1936.
Okay, well, let's see. 1936, what's a bridge toll going to be? I don't know, 15 cents?
25 cents. 25 cents.
That was pretty close.
Yeah, you're very close. And how much do you think it is today?
I'll say like 6.25.
It's 11.19. Fuck, again, I don't know how they exactly. I don't know how they come up with it. And I they probably have like exact change lanes. You need 19 cents.
Well, nowadays you just have card readers, right? So you just scan something.
Yeah. No, they have Easy Pass and all that stuff there. And
yeah, unless you're Bruce Willis in Hudson Hawk, where you could just grab change out of your pocket, throw it in the thing, and the thing will open at the right time.
That's right. But, you know, come on, that's Hudson Hawk.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, you can't catch him. Even though he starts the movie getting out of jail. But the tagline of the movie is, you can't catch the Hawk. It's a very smart film.
Yeah. It's a movie that has its moments. You know, I can't say that it's far from perfect.
It's weird.
It definitely has its moment.
Because I will give all day to Last Action Hero, a movie that's trying for something, but I think it's bad. But Hudson Hawk, I'm like, yeah, it's fun. Like, I don't care. It's like, yeah, that's fine. It does the job. Like, okay, it's a colossal bomb. It's a mess. It has every problem that you could probably have of a movie like that. But it's like, it's fun. I have a good time watching it.
Okay. No, I love the fact that they're you know, they plan heists according to the length of songs.
To crooning.
That's right.
That's a silly movie. It's really funny.
Yes. And I mean the cast is great. Especially looking at the cast now. Because you have like David Caruso in a small role there. You know, it's like people that back then you didn't really know who they were. You know, you had like half of them that you know who they are and half that you don't.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot of fun. And come on. If you're gonna name henchmen, then name them as candy bars. Come on, doesn't get better than that. That's like a 60s Batman type of idea. You know, naming henchmen after some silly things.
Oh yeah, that's like Dick Tracy logic, which I love. 88 teeth, like it's just good stuff right. Like that.
No, but the difference with that is in Dick Tracy,
it's literal.
They all look.
Yeah,
exactly. They look like their characters, you know, like their character names. In this one, you know,
Butterfingers looks arguably like Butterfinger, but the rest of them, sure. they're not exactly candy bar right. material.
No, not at all. that's all I have for this minute. You have anything else?
No, not specific. I mean, again, like Walter talking to Connie, which is Colleen Camp. Like, it's nice to call in Camps in a movie like this. That's fun. But otherwise, yeah. No.
Even though she's got a very, very she gets a little more lines tomorrow.
But it's still like, oh, it's just
she has a very strong New York accent.
She does, very much so, and it's a fun casting decision for a movie that doesn't like require Colleen Camp for this role.
Correct. Well, they do, as you mentioned earlier this week, the casting of the New York cops is just great.
Mm-hmm.
And they give us a lot of diversity. I mean, in the script, there is no character named Connie. You know, yes. She doesn't appear. That's why, you know, and Ricky's character doesn't get killed. It was something that they, you know, changed according to, you know, as they were moving along, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
With that, so yeah, it's interesting. So actually, there was something else I wanted to mention. We talked at the beginning about the fact that they at the beginning of this minute that they stole the Mercedes-Benz, all right? Mm-hmm. So do you know what year they started producing the car Mercedes-Benz?
Mercedes-Benz, like I used to know this. I want to say the 20s. I'm gonna say like 25.
Very close. 26.
Hey,
very,
look
very
at
good.
That.
Very good.
Okay.
I was waiting for you to say that you're, you know, you that say something else because you started saying I'm my gut says to go with the 20s and I'm like, go with your gut, go with your gut. it was a company that came about. It started coming about in the 1800s, where they were starting to create motor wagons and stuff like that. The first internal combustion engine in a self-propelled automobile was actually created by the Benz motor wagon in 1886. So.
And that's right. So you have I can believe in that as far. Obviously, it's the fact, but I mean, I get like the logic of like there's a company that's involved, like Mercedes or something, and then there's some kind of comp. But like I try to think 20s because it's like, well, Germany's economy is to like help at that point. It's like, oh, we can go on this newfangled thing of automobiles. We can try that and go from there.
Right. Well, I mean, Benz himself died in 1929. So,
uh-huh.
You know, and. And then Mercedes, the guys, so Benz's name was Carl Benz, and Mercedes is Emil Jelinek Mercedes, who registered his trademark in 1902, and he named his car the Mercedes 35 after his daughter, whose name was Mercedes Jelinek.
All right.
Yeah. You know, so. And, you know, he was selling cars just to very wealthy people at the time, like the Rothschild family and things like that. And, you know, Rockefeller, Astor, Morgan, Taylor, you know, all those big names of, you know, some of the people that died on the Titanic type of thing. You know? Mm-hmm. Right. So the company, and there was a third person was Gottlieb Daimler. And the three of them all merged together. Which makes me wonder, you know, how come it's only known as Mercedes-Benz? Like, whatever happened with the Daimler?
It's a sexier name.
Possibly.
But Mercedes-Benz Dangler doesn't sound very good.
maybe. I don't know.
Extra.
The script of this this minute. So it continues. You know, we were in the middle of the conversation. With you know, John and Zeus were talking about the 27th president, right? And so it says FDR Expressway breakdown lane. The yuppie stands there open mouth, watching his Mercedes drive off. The Yugo is parked behind him. Suddenly the Mercedes stops. The window rolls down. McLean sticks his head out, screams at the yuppie, "Hey, you know who the 27th president was?" The stockbroker looks at him and says, "No." The Mercedes squeals off, fishtailing into traffic. McLean is now driving. He grabs his cellular phone and punches buttons. This is more like it. At this point, they're at about 60th Street. The call connects. McLean listens to the recording. "You have reached the switchboard of the New York Police Department. At this moment, all of our lines are off." "Would you just clear the goddamn switchboard?" McLean punches redial and waits. The Mercedes moves under an underpass. Ahead, an expressway veers around several corners. Through the windshield, we can no longer see the dump trucks. They've gone around the corner. "I can't see them." "Don't worry. They're up there." "You have reached the switchboard of the New York." Suddenly, a human voice. "Police dispatch, may I help you?" "It's about time. This is Lieutenant John McLean. Put me through to Chief Cobb." Then Cobb answers the phone. "What? Does this sound like a joke?" "They're right in front of me, Arthur." "Where are you?" "Northbound on the FDR, about looking at the passing streets. 75th Street. What do you want me to do? Seal off the bridges and tunnels." "John, Jesus Christ, what about the bomb?" "Arthur, just listen to me." The line crackles with static, then a dial tone. "Ah, fuck me." McLean punches redial again. The Mercedes is emerging from the underpass. Zeus is looking ahead through the windshield. So it's fun. But again, I still think they do it better in the movie because they give us more, too much geography here. We don't need this geography. Like, I don't care that they're near 75th Street or whatever it is. You know, it's inconsequential as to where they are on the FDR drive. You know, for someone who lives in New York, it would make more sense. But, you know, not here.
I'm not against getting instructions like that. There's something fun about having like regional specific dialogue. But at the same time, as far as just economy of screenplay, you know, obviously this movie just knows what it's doing better.
Exactly. No, that's my point. That the way that they talk about it just works better. And also, John tells him in the script, he doesn't even tell him that it's a heist.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I mean, we go back to the discrepancy between the script and the movie, where in the script, Cobb's name is Arthur, and in the movie, his name is Walter. But how is he listed in the credits? You have any idea?
No.
He's listed as Arthur, even though in the movie, everyone calls him Walter.
Okay.
So they use the name from the script in the movie credits, subsequently IMDb also. But it's just very funny that they do it that way. Every Thursday, we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track Revenge Edition, where my guest will give some sort of story, anecdote, adventure, misadventure, something that's happened to them over the course of their life that is somehow related to either them enacting revenge on someone else or someone enacting it on them or something of that sort. So, Aaron, you got a story for us?
I was trying to think of something like good because I don't have any siblings, so I don't like have a specific like sibling rivalry type story or whatnot as far as revenge goes. I have uncles, but they're not really close to me in age, so it's hard to like nail down like an exact like revenge tale. The closest I could come up with that was like somewhat entertaining to myself was that I did have a cat, and the cat would scratch. And so I would go about my way of blaming the cat for anything every time, anytime something fell over. That would be my form of revenge on said cat. We'd wrestle. I was younger at the time, so it'd be easier to wrestle a cat. My cat is named Van Gogh, by the way.
Is he missing an ear?
No, my mom and I just enjoy Van Gogh, and that was a fun name for a black cat. Okay. But the cat would always get the blame for anything that I would that anything that's like falling down or out of place or whatnot, I'd blame Van Gogh. That'd be the logic I'd have, which would generally make up
for any broke that veins, Aaron. Oh, it was Van Gogh.
Anytime I would get scratched or bitten in some way, I felt like, well, you're getting blamed for the next thing that happens to in this house at some point.
So the revenge that you play is on your cat.
Yes, correct.
Okay,
and he eats cold cat food, so that's a dish served cold. It's a
Albert. Ooh, there you go. That fits in there. Wait, do you like keep it in the fridge or the freezer for that, it's room temperature?
Well, it's some depending on the food, some of it was kept in the refrigerator, so it would keep it cold.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. Not necessarily eating cat food, but yeah, the idea. All right. So, Aaron, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Yes. Everything I do ends up at my personal Substack page, thecodeisinc.substack.com. I am the host of the Out Now with Aaron and Abe podcast with my friend Abe. We talk about movies on a weekly basis. I am the editor-in-chief for We Live Entertainment, where my movie reviews can be found. I write Blu-ray and Criterion reviews over at Wise to Blue. And I am on all the socials at Aaron's PS4.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for A Movie Rub Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on X/Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Aaron, you feel like coming back tomorrow to find out some information about dump trucks on the FDR?
I just want to know if they're allowed on the FDR. So, yes, I'm absolutely going to come back.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
He comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. Him a hearty welcome then, hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.